Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
John, thank you. For me, the story at Ravensbourne began in 2007, where I was inspired to join them from an organisation called DNAD, where I was Director of Education and Training for 7 years, where I led and developed jointly with industry, big figureheads in industry, clients, brands, agencies, and universities around the world, pioneering industry-led models of higher education, of producing the best quality graduates and supporting the best quality individuals to stay in an industry and to create and drive forward new innovation and new businesses to stop them dropping out. And the proposition of the new Ravensbourne really caught that imagination. It proudly stated it was going to be a different type of institution to do different things and to do things differently. And for any of you that have been there, you will know that the building, the design, the philosophy behind that building exemplifies that statement. It is proud to be very, very different. Those of you that don't know anything about Ravensbourne, it was one of the very famous London, just outside ring skirts, borough of London art and design schools back in the 1960s and 70s, with people like David Bowie, Stella McCartney, the Chapman Brothers, Bruce Oldfield going through its doors. In more recent years, huge successes in the UK economy, creative economy, like Bedlam Productions, the producers of The King's Speech, and one of the UK's biggest technology successes, Last FM, also began their lives at Ravensbourne. So huge reputation, huge brand, a small specialist institution clearly capable of punching well above its weight. And I think Ravensbourne brought me in, really, as someone with very strong industry contacts and a philosophy that education could be challenged, the traditional higher education delivery could be challenged. It should be more industry-focused and industry-led. And I joined a team that helped raise in the region of £20 million to embed that industry philosophy and core at the centre of Ravensbourne. The key thing behind that was on the first floor of Ravensbourne, we put a lot of that capital investment into establishing an incubator, a home for businesses right in the heart of the institution that clearly screamed Ravensbourne is not just a university sector college, but it's a key part of the regeneration of this part of London. It's about wealth creation. It's about job creation. It's about regeneration. We are more than a college, more than a university, but a digital media institution capable of driving serious regional growth. And that's why, largely, I think we really began to inspire the Royal Borough of Greenwich in the power and impact a higher education institution like Ravensbourne could have on the regeneration and driving forward a key strategic location in London. It's probably also important to say that Ravensbourne had a choice of 4 or 5 different locations in London to move to when it made that decision to move from Chislehurst. And it was clear, very clear, that the digital peninsula, the Greenwich Peninsula, was the place where Ravensbourne should go to have maximum impact on the London economy and regional economy and nationally and beyond, really. A key strategic location for us and for the rest of London. Today, which I think is quite an exemplar position and one that could be replicated and should be replicated across the country, I spend 2 days a week working for Ravensbourne and 2 days a week working for the Royal Borough of Greenwich. I am a big fan of joined-up thinking and joined-up strategy, and I think that way that really exemplifies how higher education institutions should work strategically with the locality and the local authority to drive regeneration agendas and business agendas is exemplified by what we're doing here. And I'll talk to you a little bit about how we're doing that. So I've said that Ravensbourne was proudly stating itself to be more than a university sector college, and that was about creating cutting-edge partnerships, pioneering partnerships, making the most of Ravensbourne's cutting-edge technologies and enabling them to be accessed by more than just traditional academics and students. The Ravensbourne building was a £72 million investment. If you just let £72 million be used by your academic and student community, the depreciation of the lack of use of that facility is going to be immense. Shouldn't universities be opening their doors to the local community, to industry, to get what would probably be 30-35% usage of facilities and technologies and spaces up to kind of 80-90%? Of course it should, because the depreciation of value of the cutting-edge broadcast media and technologies in that institution, those technologies will be redundant in 3 to 4 years' time. So let's get them used. Let's maximise the use of that space. And that was a key part of the strategy of putting the incubator in the heart of the institution, not in another campus, not at the end of the car park, but right in the heart of the institution, which means on a daily basis or a weekly basis, our 100-plus creative technology companies get to use £3 million TV studios, they get to use colour grading suites, they get to use one of the only Mystica 3D production suites in the country, they get to collaborate with our postgrads, they work on research projects and practical projects and commissions with our students, as well as with each other. Now that's such a rich innovation environment, not only for the SMEs, but for our student population and graduate population, and Trevor will testify the number of local jobs and local companies, that's unearthing. And one of the points that was made in this morning sessions, unearthing those local entrepreneurs, that latent entrepreneurial activity, giving them access to £72 million of technology, postgraduate inspiration, innovation, new thinking, undergraduate talent. Ravensbourne produces some of the most employable undergraduates in the country, has exceptional employability rates. To have that alongside your micro or SME is incredibly powerful. Some of the independent research that's been done to date, the evaluation of the impact of Ravensbourne, suggests that companies within our incubator expect their annual turnover to increase by at least £60,000. Now, for a micro or an SME, particularly in the media space, that's a huge impact. And again, that's because they have access to this leading-edge technology. It's important to say we couldn't have done it alone. One of our key strategies was to develop a minimum of five really pioneering industry partnerships. Again, this point that a marriage is better than a one-night stand, absolutely right. Meaningful partnerships with big businesses to help the locality and the regeneration, absolutely critical. So Ogilvy became one of those key partners. I run an alternative education model with Ogilvy Labs called the Rough Diamond, which is Ravensbourne's partnering with the School of Communication Arts, Ogilvy, the Marketing Academy, the Ideas Foundation and others to create alternative pathways into employment and advertising. Nicole Yershin, the director of Ogilvy Innovation Labs, sits on a Greenwich Digital Advisory Board that Ravensbourne convened to drive forward technology thinking and innovation on the borough, as well as helping to shape the mission and the vision for the digital peninsula. With Adobe, we established the first ubiquitous site licensing agreement outside of the USA. That means that every Ravensbourne student, every Ravensbourne incubation company has complete free access to the Adobe Master Collection. Coupled with our bursary scheme that we run with Apple, where every student owns a laptop. To work at Ravensbourne, you work by laptop. Everybody does. The students can purchase a MacBook Pro at a very affordable price, and then they own that technology, and they walk away with it with them when they leave Ravensbourne. You know, student-owned technology, mobile technology, supported by access to the tools that creators and media and technology professionals need to exploit and drive businesses forward has been key to our strategy. Mozilla, we brought the Mozilla Hackfest to London and the UK for the first time by having this exemplary, radical building that is really built for collaboration. The building at Ravensbourne, if you've not been, really forces behaviour change. We have practically no classrooms. We have engineering lessons being taught next to fashion, being taught next to architecture, immersive technology, 3D broadcasting, immersive technologies, graphic design. Everybody mingles. Everybody's forced to interact and cross over. You don't know when you go into Ravensbourne who's an engineer or who's a student and who's a business. Everyone is working side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and that's a really, really rich environment. Cisco, as Trevor said, have become a really key strategic partner. Our philosophy of what we were trying to do in Ravensbourne in terms of disrupt the traditional approach to higher education and business growth really got to grips with Cisco's philosophy, as it did with Adobe's, this convergence model, this crossing over, this seamlessness. And so Cisco have invested a huge amount of technology and strategic thinking into what Ravensbourne does and is doing, and I'm delighted to see us being used as a case study regularly by Cisco and at Cisco House and on an international level. And then EMC Consulting, another example where they've become a really important strategic partner to what we're doing. Again, for Ravensbourne, always looking to exploit its position, its USP, which is the exploitation of creative technologies. You know, we proudly say we are not an art school. If you want a traditional art or design education, Ravensbourne isn't the place. If you want to focus on that space of where technology meets creativity, design, and innovation, Ravensbourne is the place to be. And these partners are really key to making that happen. The business modelling side as well, it was really important that we began, as well as teaching the latest technologies and how to master them, we begin to push both our students and our companies to think about the new and emergent business models. So it's not just about producing different forms of content and device and innovation, it's how do you exploit those new forms of content once they're there. So we spend a great deal of money researching and developing business modelling labs as well. We've played a key part in animating the peninsula. I mean, we opened there in October 2010. We were the second building on the peninsula, I think, to open. So the only other businesses on the peninsula before we arrived were the O2, owned by AEG, and Transport for London. Now, to bring 140-plus creative technology companies to a district that previously only had those players is a really key impact. By running similar to... It's great to see what Google Campus are doing, actually, because it's really self-reinforcing. Everything we've been doing for the last 2 years, they are doing, and that's great because it's just what the model we did, the approach we had was bang on the money. So over the last, since October 2010, we've had more than 4,000 leading business heads, MDs and founders come through Ravensbourne and onto the digital peninsula. They would not have come there without it. We brought Silicon Valley comes to the UK, to Ravensbourne on the digital peninsula. We had the Microsoft BizSpark conference there 2 weeks ago. Mozilla are coming back. You know, this YouTube, the YouTube European Roadshow. So at last, London has a building and a destination fit for purpose to explore these new opportunities in media, content, innovation, and technology. And the incubator. So on a daily basis, well, a weekly basis, as I say, more than 100 companies come and use that space to innovate new ideas, to grow, create new jobs, and grow more quickly and bring new products to market. The real power of the Ravensbourne Incubator, and I think it's a model that should be replicated by more higher education institutions, is our incubator is not for our purely for our graduates and our students. It's for businesses from across London. And that means we're not taking IP stakes out of our incubator. The model here is wealth creation, regeneration, and job creation. And I think more universities should take stock of that if they can team up and be resourced in partnership with their local authorities to drive this local regeneration, job creation agenda. And that's exactly what we've done. So probably less than 20% of our companies are Ravensbourne connected. The other 80% are from across London who we just enable to utilise our expertise and our facilities and our connections. So that incubator is open. It's about job and wealth creation, not our own IP. And I really do wish more institutions that have access to this amazing wealth of technology, knowledge and facility could make them more readily accessible and flexibly accessible to that latent entrepreneurial potential out there. It's not just about business. We do a whole program of community engagement and outreach projects. So Trevor mentioned we run something called Greenwich Digital Skills, where Ravensbourne basically runs technology and creative training programs for the adult community learner base of Greenwich for effectively £1 an hour to come and use the £72 million TV Broadcasting Technology Institute. It's a pretty good offer. And the take-up of that is tremendous. And we really hope to see over years how that is really going to develop and help upskill the wider population of Greenwich and the surrounding areas to enable them to take up the future jobs in the media, technology and design industries. We partnered with Sundance London to run the first short film competition outside of the USA. 300 of our graduates will be running the broadcasting, supporting the broadcasting for the Olympic Games, more than any other institution anywhere in the country. Exploring media freedom and the web issues with Mozilla. Working strategically with Cisco on the STEMnet challenges area, you know, the importance of technology and design and creativity. It's not just a technology issue. We need more technologists in design and creativity as well. And, of course, working with the local authority to drive this vision for the digital peninsula forward. So we do a huge amount of activity for a very small institution. We truly do punch well above our weight. And it's all about partnerships, and the incubator has been central to that, absolutely central. I should say, we raised a large amount of capital money, but we couldn't run the incubator today without ongoing revenue funding from the European Regional Development Fund. That's what we use to enable and subsidise the access to it for those local SMEs and London-based SMEs. That's what pays for it on a daily basis. And that funding now runs up to 2014. Our strategic plan with Greenwich is how do we make that sustainable past 2014 in its own right without any reliance on public or European subsidy. And that's the mission that we're now developing and taking forward. The Cisco National Virtual Incubator is absolutely fundamental to that. Ravensbourne is the first and only university partner on the steering group and committee for that. They recognise the potential and the philosophy of Ravensbourne teaming up with the local authority to drive regeneration and jobs. And the plan for that National Virtual Incubator Network is to link hubs of excellence like Ravensbourne and the Digital Peninsula to other hubs like Cambridge, Liverpool, Salford, where our community of entrepreneurs and businesses and SMEs can start collaborating on a national scale. Now, that's huge potential to drive innovation and growth forward. Huge potential there through technologies and the Janet network. Types of companies. We've got architects, creative technologists, software developers, TV and film producers, gaming developers, fashion designers, all working together side by side. And again, the point that was made earlier, often what the incubator does is it enables them to team up and collaborate and bring new services to market to offer to clients that previously they just could not do or would never have thought of. And seeing that collaboration happen, facilitating that collaboration is probably the most powerful thing behind the incubator, beyond access to this amazing facility and inspirational environment to do their work, to drive their businesses forward and getting them out of their bedrooms and meetings in coffee shops. A number of our companies have made successful pitches to the TSB and other funders by being able to pitch and present at Ravensbourne. We're part of something bigger. We're being taken seriously. And that, again, is a huge value to have access to that resource to get taken more seriously for local entrepreneurs. All done. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.